From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
War of Will chased home by Country House past the 16th. It's War of Will. War of Will from Country House, then Boyland. War of Will wows well of them again. Won the Risen Star from Country House.
Up on the outside, running is Outshine now, gaining ground, and toward the rail is Lord Dragon. Down to the wire, it's Tacitus going to the front. Tacitus strikes to the lead. Tacitus to win the Tampa Bay Derby.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington Studios, welcome to the Equine Forum. Presented by Red Brand Fence.
Spinoff was taking a short lead from a battling By My Standards. Swingo, then Country House. It's Spinoff and By My Standards for Gabriel Saez. It's By My Standards and Spinoff. By My Standards at 22-1 to win the Louisiana Derby.
With an eighth of a mile to the finish, Mind Control down at the rail, Instagram on the outside. Much better is in between those two. The three of them continue to battle it out. And here's Haikal making a late run on the extreme outside. They come for the finish. It is Haikal to win the Gotham.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone. Welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, all presented in the month of April by our friends at Red Brand Fence. Happy to have you on board. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, back on the road again. It is Charlestown Classic Day here in Charlestown, West Virginia, and we are broadcasting, as we have the past several years, live from Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. We are positioned in the press box area, which is located right above the finish line, where later tonight, 10 horses will go postward in that Grade 2 $1 million Charlestown Classic. And it has been just an unbelievable experience for us to be part of this event over the past several years, and looking forward to another great race tonight. Jude, Mother Nature cooperating too, because yesterday here in Charlestown, it was rainy. It was a bit on the warm side with temperatures in the low 70s, but the rain persisted all the way through the night. We have a sloppy track where the horses are currently training now, but it's supposed to give way to sunny skies. We're starting to see the sun poke through the dark clouds now, and expecting this racetrack to dry out quickly. And by the time we get to post time for the Charlestown Classic at around 5:37, 5:38 Eastern time, this racetrack wouldn't surprise me if it's a fast track for the Classic today.
Well, there's quite a bit of moisture in the track, so we'll have to see what they do with it. But they're very adept at adjusting here at Charlestown, and this is a surface that stands up year-round. So hopefully that would be nice. I mean, the sun is coming out. It's warm. If we get a little breeze, it help it dry it out a little bit. So optimistic. That's what we are. We're optimistic.
Yeah, that breeze is going to help an awful lot. And like I say, when the sun comes out, the temperatures today are supposed to get up into the low to mid-70s. That will help. And we'll see how it goes. But it's a racetrack that does pretty well when it comes to drying out. So should be in pretty good shape for the running of that Charlestown Classic, the 11th running, later this afternoon. 14 days, 10 hours, 46 minutes, and 35 seconds. That's all that remains until the Run for the Roses at Churchill Downs. Of course, we'll be there with all that coverage for you beginning the Tuesday before Kentucky Derby. We'll kick things off with our Derby Countdown shows presented by Hillandale. You won't want to miss those programs, and we'll get you set for all the action and take you all the way through the Run for the Roses. Our coverage of the Kentucky Derby, once again in partnership with NBC Sports and with Westwood One. We'll talk about the Derby later in the show, Jude, but the majority of this program is going to be focused on the Charlestown Classic, and rightfully so. Our coverage of the race this afternoon comes up from 4 to 6 Eastern time, by the way, and you can tune in on SiriusXM channel 156. The Derby picture has been so muddled this year. It's hard to really put your finger on one horse that you say, okay, this is the horse to beat, because really nobody, maybe outside of a horse like Omaha Beach, who just won the Arkansas Derby, has really stepped up and said, okay, I'm the one to beat in 14 days.
Yeah, it's an interesting Derby year. We've had so many horses get points, and different horses win the preps, and Omaha Beach, he kind of stands out as a horse that won two big preps in a row. So that's a reason that a lot of people have him as the early morning line favorite for the Derby. But we still have 2 weeks to go, so there's lots of things that can develop during that time. After you've covered as many derbies as we have, you kind of get that knowledge that it's not etched in stone until they all load into the gate.
Yeah.
And even then you have something like Thunder Snow go funny on you. So you just don't know what's going to happen. So we have to keep an open mind. We have to watch the horses train. We're going to be doing this program, as a matter of fact, next Saturday from Churchill Downs.
Yes.
And hopefully we'll get to see some of those horses training on the track. And it's not in vogue anymore to work your horse at Churchill Downs. A lot of horses stay home and come in as late as they can, which I believe is Tuesday before the Derby is the final day that they have to show up. So a lot of horses have already made their final preparations before they get to Churchill. But you can see a lot in the mornings with the gallops and some horses do a little blowout here or there. So it's always very interesting Derby week to watch the horses train and see who's got that glow about them as they come up to the big race.
Well, as I said, we will spend time talking about that Derby picture, maybe a little more in depth later in this program. Of course, next week, as Jude said, we'll be live from our Red Brand broadcast tent on the backside of Churchill Downs, about 20 yards from the main track. So we'll have a great vantage point to get you set for Derby next weekend. But in the meantime, we're going to focus on the older horses today in that Grade 2 Charlestown Classic. And this entire program here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races is a really fun program to bet. And you've got a lot of different opportunities to make some money. 13 races. The first post today is an early one. It's 12:30. 8 stakes races on the program, more than $1.5 million in purses set to be given away in those stakes races, a $100,000 guaranteed all-stakes pick 4, which is races 9 through 12. It culminates with the race after the Charlestown Classic, 9 through 12. And then you have the Charlestown 6-12 wager, which is a pick 6 bet. It is a mandatory payout today. In that wager, there will be a carryover going into the card. We'll try to get you that amount as we move throughout the show today.
I believe it's mandatory like payout. $169,000.
Is that the carryover?
Yeah.
Okay, so it should be a great pool.
Give or take a few bucks, but yes.
Yeah, it should be a great pool. Actually, just getting word here that, our friend Eric Zimney, the vice president of racing operations here at Charlestown, sending us a note that it is now almost a $180,000.
Oh, after
carryover.
Last night.
Yeah.
That's what happened. I didn't get last night's handle. Thanks, Eric.
$179,963, the carryover going into that. And again, a mandatory payout into that wager. And then that $100,000 guaranteed pool in the all-stakes pick 4 races 9 through 12.
Yeah, that's a very nice little sequence, the late pick 4, and looking forward to putting in a ticket.
Should be a good one. The 11th running of the Charlestown Classic, again, 5:37 Eastern. It's race 11. Let's just touch on a couple of the top storylines, and we'll dive into them later in the program too, Jude. But you've got two former Charlestown Classic winners set to square off with Something Awesome, who's the defending champion, won it last year over War Story. War Story is also back this year, so they'll get a rematch. And then you have Imperative, the 9-year-old, who won this race in 2014 and again in 2017. And he's looking for his very first win since that victory in 2017. But obviously, he loves it here at Charlestown.
Yeah, well, you see that at Charlestown. You see a lot of horse-for-course specialists. Horses spend very long careers here. That's a tribute to the surface, the trainers that take care of these horses. But a lot of them run to advanced ages and rack up massive win amounts, like 120 races at Charlestown or 30 races. Sometimes you see horses that have spent their whole careers here and just win race after race. So that's a very unique thing that Charlestown has that many other racetracks could only hope for.
War Story is the 7-2 morning line favorite, and a horse that will be making his third appearance in the race. He was third, beaten just a half a length in 2017 by Imperative, and then second last year behind Something Awesome. So he has to get past the two classic winners if he wants to become one himself later this afternoon. But he's ultra-talented. He's one of two in the race for trainer Jorge Navarro, who's been on a roll. He comes off of that leading trainer title down at Gulfstream in that huge win in Dubai with XY Jet. You have to think that War Story is going to be firing on all cylinders later today.
Yeah, Jorge's got a whole bunch of horses in on the card, and they all look very live. So he's a trainer you always have to keep your eye on.
Todd Pletcher is back. He's looking for a third victory in the Classic with Rally Cry, who'll give a leg up to his main man, John Velasquez. Remember, Todd won it with Kaisha and again with Stanford in 2016. Both of those with Hall of Fame jockey Javier Castellano aboard. But again, Johnny V is riding for Todd today with Rally Cry aboard Diamond King for John Service, who he himself has ties to Charlestown, born and raised right here in Charlestown, West Virginia.
Yeah, that's kind of a wise guy horse, Diamond King. Yeah. A lot of people talking about him. He's got good speed, and I'm sure John knows exactly how to win races here at Charlestown. So you got that going for you. So it's a really interesting race, and you can go through it horse by horse and make good reasons why you should back practically every entrant in the race.
Yeah, and again, if Javier can get the victory on Diamond King today for John Service, then he would pick up a fourth victory in the Classic. He leads all jockeys with those three wins from the previous 10 runnings. And Discreet Lover is here, making his 2019 debut. He was sixth in last year's Charlestown Classic, expected to be maybe closer or a little further back from the pace. His trainer, Uriah St. Louis, said last year they kind of got sucked into a bit of a, not a pace duel, but they were up closer than they would like to be. So we'll see if Discreet Lover, a winner of last year's Grade 1 Jockey Club Gold Cup at Belmont, can get a victory here later today, too. So there's an awful lot of storylines. We're going to touch on many of them as we move throughout the show. It's going to be a busy program, too. When we come back after this first break, we're going to visit with clocker Henry Allen. Now, Henry has been clocking horses here for 45 years. That's right, celebrating his 45-year anniversary at Charlestown. And prior to that, he was training horses here. We'll talk to him. It'll be a fun visit, and we'll take a little trip down memory lane with Henry Allen coming up after our first break. We'll take a break from the Charlestown talk at 8:35 and visit with Jim Lawson, the CEO of Woodbine, as they begin their spring racing season today. That's right, opening day at Woodbine, north of the border. So we'll get a chance to catch up with Jim Lawson at 8:35 Eastern. Jim Guarnier is going to be with us as well. Excuse me, John Guarnier, who is the principal of Imaginary Stables. He'll be with us at 9 o'clock Eastern time, and then Eric Zimney, vice president of racing operations, will be with us at 9:40. So an awful lot of things to get to. It's a very busy show. We'll come back, we'll give you the poll question, and we'll catch up with Henry Allen. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Alter Nation was the co-second leading second crop Kentucky sire with five black type stakes winners, nine black type horses, and well over $2.5 million in earnings. Alter Nation counted Grade 3 Super Derby winner Limation and Gulfstream Stakes winner Alter Moon as tops from his first crop of runners. Already this year, Alter Nation has the brilliant filly Serengeti Empress, easy winner of the Grade 2 Rachel Alexandra Stakes at the fairgrounds. By Distorted Humor, millionaire, graded stakes winner, Alter Nation stands at Pin Oak Stud.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Warfront has sired eight champions and 10 millionaires. Recent Grade 1 winners include Homesman, Fog of War, Lancaster Bomber, and European champion U.S. Navy Flag, plus 2019 Kentucky Derby hopeful War of Will. He's also sire of the highest price yearling sold in North America in 2018, and international super sire on all surfaces and all fronts. Warfront, standing at Claiborne 5.
Racing fans, we are now just 2 weeks away from the Run for the Roses, so make plans now to watch and wager on the Kentucky Derby here at Santa Anita on Saturday, May 4th. Our main event this Saturday is the Grade 2 Kona Gold Stakes at 6.5 furlongs on the main track. We've got free infield general admission and parking each weekend via Gate 6 off of Colorado Place. Admission gates open at 11 a.m. and first post time on Saturday and Sunday is at 1 o'clock. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Spendthrift Farm introduces its newest breeding program for 2019, the Safe Bet Program. Breed to a fourth-year stallion and watch his first crop of two-year-olds have measurable success on the racetrack in 2019, or you won't owe the stud fee when your foal is born. To learn more about the Safe Bet Program, visit spendthriftfarm.com/safebet or call the farm today. That's spendthriftfarm.com/safebet. Spendthrift, the breeder's farm.
This is Jockey Orlando Bocachica, and you are listening to the Hall Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Russell Road continues to race all out, second by 6 lengths, and it's a long way back to the rest of the field, and they're into the stretch, and Lucy's Bob Boy is in charge. Russell Road continues to run his best in second, Allegheny Jack, and then Shanghai Daddy on the inside. Russell Road is coming after Lucy's Bob Boy, and he got him! A determined Russell Road has won over Lucy's Bob Boy in the West Virginia Breeders' Classic in a final time of 1 minute 53.85 seconds. For the third time, Russell Road is the winner.
Russell Road, so good. Larry Colmus with an outstanding call. That was the West Virginia Breeders' Classic in 2014. Russell Road, West Virginia bred. He would win 31 of 62 lifetime starts, more than $2 million in earnings to his credit when he finally retired, and a horse that was just so, so good. He was a hero here at Charlestown, no doubt about it. And there was a race named in his honor later this afternoon on the undercard of this Charlestown Classic Day program. It is race number 9. It is a $75,000 stake for three-year-olds and up, going 7 furlongs here on the main course. And should be a good one. It is part of our broadcast this afternoon. Post time is 4:29 Eastern for that Russell Road Stakes. We begin our coverage at 4 o'clock today, SiriusXM channel 156, and streaming worldwide on our website at horseracingradio.net. So make sure you're tuned in. But, a true top West Virginia bred was Russell Road. And we now turn our attention to another top West Virginia bred, who is Henry Allen. He is the clocker here at Charlestown. He's been doing it for a very long time, celebrating 45 years sitting here in the press box clocking horses, Henry. And first of all, happy anniversary. Congratulations, my friend.
Thank you.
Yeah, well done. You told me you grew up about 7 or 8 miles from here.
Yes,
and
sir.
Cut your teeth on racing right here at Charlestown. This is home for you.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
What was the first time you remember coming to Charlestown? How long ago was that?
I was 14, so that'd be 60 years ago.
60. And do you believe it? We're still here doing this today.
No, sir. Didn't think I'd live that long.
and no shot of slowing down either. You look as good as you've ever looked, I think.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I think our first trip to Charlestown, we'd had a chance to visit with you on the same program. That was, I guess about 6 years ago or so, and now here we are doing it again. But we were talking on the balcony before we came on air, and you were telling me about coming here, working in the barns, and then starting out, helping out as an assistant trainer, and then eventually moving over to the clocking side of things. But take me back through the beginning, the early days of Henry Allen, if you will.
Well, I started here, and 16 years old, walking huts and cleaning stalls. I've did it all. 1966 was when I trained my first horse, and had a filly by the name of Closing Quotation for Mrs. Coins that owned Pimlico Racetrack. Took her to Aqueduct, runner. She got beat in a stake up there, got beat. I thought we won the race, but turned out I got a stake anyway, 500. It was good money back in them days. Good money. Yes, sir.
You told me a heartbreaking story.
Oh, yeah.
Too. Tell me that story that you shared.
Well, that was in 1972. No, it was 1966.
Yep.
The first horse I ever trained, I had her for 1 month exactly. Run her here at Charlestown to number 10 in the second race. I had to win her in the first race going back to her. Looked at the odd boards. Each double was paying $463 for a $2 ticket, and I got 10 of them.
In 1966.
66. Money went a long ways back then. And we win the race in the pitch, in the winner's circle, getting the picture taken. Stewards put up an inquiry and took her down. And tears running all down my face. That day it was rough. It was a rough day.
Brutal. That's brutal. Was it justified or did
no? Should not have come down.
Stewards made a mistake.
He said she was in the 10 post.
10
from the outside post. Never touched another horse. Yeah.
Going brutal. 4.5 right here.
Yeah. That's brutal. Yeah. That's brutal. So what led you to make the move from the training side of things here at Charlestown to move into the clocking side?
Well, I couldn't get along with Henry Mercer's wife too much after that. So I had a chance to get the job here, and Mr. Bob Levitt was the general manager. He called me in the office, and he said, I'll give you this job, Henry said, but you got to promise me one thing. I said, what is that? He said that you'll stay at least 1 year. Well, I think I did that.
4.5 decades later.
Right.
Could you ever imagine that you would still be sitting here today doing the same job?
Well, yes, because I really like it. You know, it's nothing that I can think of that I would rather do than what I'm doing right now.
Yeah. What's the best part about it?
Well, you get to sit in the best seat in the house to watch all the races. Got good friends that you work with every day, and it's nice meeting you three. I love both, all three of you, and you've treated me with respect, same way I want to treat you all, and I thank you for everything you've done for me.
No, thank you for everything you've done for us. Every time we made the trip up here, it's been you've added to our experience. I can tell you that. There's no doubt about it. So the best part of Charlestown, if you were to sum up what Charlestown's all about for people that have never been here, what's the best part about this racetrack?
Well, coming, it's a beautiful place to be. If you love gambling, this is a place to be. You can go to the casino, you can bet the racehorses, whatever you want to do, it's right here for you.
What is it about Charlestown that trainers come here and they never leave? I mean, usually trainers are always looking to move up and get to a bigger circuit, but the trainers here, they seem to stay year after year.
Well, most of them have no choice. If you don't have horses that can compete, and a lot of them here don't, they're lucky to win a race here. They got trainers that might win two races a year, but they like the horse side of it, and they just keep on hanging in with the same horses year after year after year, which is no good.
We hear that clip of Russell Road winning the West Virginia Breeders Classic. That was his third victory in the race. When you think back on some of the best horses that you've seen here at Charlestown, who are some of the horses that come to mind?
Well, there's some that I've trained, like Closing Quotation, the one I told you ran at Aqueduct, finished second in the stake there. I've had horses that people couldn't do any good with that I did, took care of myself, like Halter Man. He was a 11-year-old and still winning races. I win 9 races with him at the age of 10. And he went on to, like I said, win 59. And he should have been in the Hall of Fame. Never made it. He ran him on a bad racetrack. Shouldn't have run. Had he ran him, scratched that night and ran back 2 weeks later, he would have been in the Hall of Fame. His name was Halter Man. Like I say, he was a nice horse. Win a lot of races. Had horses like Careful Ken, claimed for $2,500. Went allowance races in Maryland with him. We've had real nice horses. Of course, I was a good trainer.
Well, that's the key right there. Have a nice horse and be a good trainer. You can't miss.
There you go.
What about, you know, clocking for 45 years, you've certainly seen your share of horses come through here. Is there any one in particular that you remember where, you know, you cashed a nice bet on?
Mm-hmm. Should have, but didn't.
Should have.
Yeah, should have, but didn't. Well, I'll tell you, back about just before Shenandoah closed, I had been to the fair in Berryville and got hooked up playing these games, and man kept saying, you need this many points to win this teddy bear or whatever it was. and I must have lost $300-$400 if I messed with that. I left there and came to Shenandoah, that's running over there. And I took $2 and bet on a trifecta, 547. Came in 547, paid $5,600.
Nice.
Cost me $2. I give a man $600 to cash it for me. I walked out with $5,000 clear.
Wow.
Yeah. That's the biggest bet I've cashed.
Isn't it amazing how we never forget those, right?
You know, you
right.
don't forget those.
You remember every number, too. Right?
Yeah, 547.
You don't forget those. Visiting with Henry Allen, he is the clocker here at Charlestown. He has been in that position, as you heard at the beginning of this interview, for 45 years. But he started working here back in 1966. He started training horses and now still sitting here clocking horses today. Henry, for people that don't understand the role of a clocker, and your job here at the track, take us through what you do and how it's done.
Well, first of all, you got to know the poles around the racetrack. You got six different distances for five different times for distance race, like mile 16th, mile 8th. The 4.5, you got three different times, a quarter, half, in the finish. But you just got to know the poles, because a lot of the trainers that train horses, and they'll call you up and say, I want to work 5/8 a mile. They don't know where the pole they want to start at. You got to know your poles, and you got to know your horse.
Yeah. How do you know which horse is which? Because many times there's 20, 30 horses out on the racetrack.
Well, the trainers will call you and let you know that they're going to work, what kind of saddle towel they have on. And after a while, you get to know the towels without them telling you. And you just... And you know the color of the horse, because you've seen them all for since they were 2 years.
Yeah.
So a lot of times I know the horse as soon as he hit the track before the trainer tells me.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah.
No kidding. You can tell just by looking at the horse.
Right.
Do you keep a book or anything on him? Or do you,
no.
All in your head?
Yeah.
It's wild. Yeah, because I've seen, you know, clockers at other racetracks. They got, like, encyclopedia volumes of horses with markings and stuff, and he has it all up here.
I used to do that for like 4 years, and I quit doing it.
When we were talking again before we came on air, we were talking about how this sport just gets in your blood, and you talked about coming here and, you know, as a young boy and then just becoming hooked on it. I think, Jude, you probably have a similar story. I have a similar story, and it does. There's just something about this sport. What is it about thoroughbred racing that just... I mean, it makes you stay here for 45 years.
Well, first of all, like I said, I worked in the barn area for 14 years. And you get to like horses. And I guess after you've been in the barn area and did it from groom, hard walker, groom, mucking stalls, you did the whole works. Then to get this position that I have now, and just to come up here and sit down and watch the horses, it really something that I love. I love doing it. And there's nothing else that I can think of that I would do other than time horses. When I retire, within the next 5 years, I would say I'm planning on being here 50 years before I leave. As long as the good Lord give me strength to get up the steps, I'll be here.
And you need that.
Right.
That's why you're in such good shape. If you've ever been to Charlestown, coming into the press box is an ordeal. You got to climb one set of stairs all the way to the top of the grandstand. Then when you get there, you got another set up and a set down, and the space is about 3/4 of an inch wide. I mean, you really got to have it down.
Yes, sir.
It'll keep you fit.
Yeah.
It's
fantastic.
It'll keep you fit. And when Henry Allen commits to something, not just his job, but his marriage, too. He sticks with it. You were telling me you just celebrated, what, 52 years?
52 years, yes, sir.
Yeah. And your wife has to be extremely supportive, because you're here all the time. They race at night, right?
Right.
So you're not home in the evenings.
Right.
She has to just be extremely supportive. What a wonderful woman.
Yes, she is.
She's glad to get him out of the house for a while. That's a secret to 52 years of marriage. Stay apart a little bit.
Always, people ask me in church, how can you stay married to a woman for 52 years? I said, always agree with what she says, and whatever she wants, just say yes.
There you go. Yes. Yeah, you people maybe don't realize that you time the races in the evening, too, in case the teletimer doesn't work. That's another one of your jobs, so to speak.
Well, you never know when you're going to have a malfunction, and you got to have – I use my left hand for the time – and I don't miss it by far. Most generally, I'm right on it, maybe 200-300 second difference, but not much.
Not much.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty special stuff. Henry Allen here. Henry, one last question before we let you go. We're going to celebrate the 11th running of the Grade 2 Charlestown Classic later this afternoon. $1 million purse. It's been as high as $1.5 million at one point here. Did you ever think, as you were growing up, coming to the races here, we'd be talking about Charlestown having a $1 million Grade 2 race?
No, sir. Never. No, not here at Charlestown.
Do you have a pick for today's race?
You know, I would like to see Tim Grahams win it with Running to Love You, which is a real nice horse, but it's a tough job today.
Yeah. Had a chance to visit with Tim, trainer Tim Grahams, yesterday, and he Running to Love You, really nice horse, 11 yeah. for 15 lifetime, all 11 wins coming here.
Right.
Charlestown was 1-8 in a row.
Yes.
But the waters get a bit deeper later
yes,
today.
Yes, sir. It is.
Yeah. Would be fun to see the West Virginia bred win it, no doubt about it. Henry, as always, really appreciate the visit, my friend. Like all of our guests who come on the show, we're going to send you a gift from Embrace the Race. You can go pick something nice out for yourself on their website. And really appreciate you spending the time, and thanks for everything.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, Henry Allen here on HRN.
Thank you.
And he is our industry star of the week here on this program for this week. It is all presented by Stuart Morris. And if you're going to be heading to any of the major sales around the country this year, you want to check out that Stuart Morris consignment offering boutique full-service bloodstock operations. And he wants to thank his owners, clients, and his entire team. His success definitely because of you. You can visit the Stuart Morris consignment at all major sales and look for the next superstar for your stable. You can do that, Stuart Morris. And Stuart, nice enough to sponsor that segment. What a visit with Henry Allen, huh?
Yeah, it's great. He's yeah.
He's what racing is all about.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The girls should do one of their I Am Racings with Henry.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, if you could take his passion for this game, his love of the sport, his love of Charlestown, his home track, and bottle it and market it that way, this sport would be the most popular sport on the planet.
There's no question.
All right. Well, usually we bring you your Lexus Legends of the Turf story at this time, but we want to get all of our content in here today on the road. It is going to be a very busy show, so we'll bypass the Legends of the Turf story. I know I'm going to get emails. I'm going to get tweets. I'm going to get texts. I know. But we're going to bypass the story part. We will bring you a word for the Lexus store of Lexington, and I will tell you personally, as a Lexus driver and as a member of that Lexus store of Lexington family, you want to go there. They are horse people. They have a Keeneland shop right there at the Lexus store. They're committed to supporting the industry. They've been doing it with us here on this show for about 15 years now, and they are just tremendous. You go see the Godfather, Tony Attiano, see Mike Hendricks, and all the great folks at the Lexus store. I promise you, they will take care of you, and they will talk horses, and they will put you into a really, really beautiful vehicle. It's the Lexus store of Lexington on the corner of New Circle and Liberty in Lexington, Kentucky. And we're back to visit with Jim Lawson from Woodbine. Talk about their opening day when we return. Stay with us.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Endless innovation and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the Godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Now standing at Buck Pond Farm, Bet on Red, Wildcat Red.
Wildcat Red runs away to an impressive score in the Hutchison.
After winning the Grade 3 Hutchison, Wildcat Red goes on to win the Grade 2 Fountain of Youth in near record time. Faster than Pulpit, faster than Thunder Gulch, and faster than 49er. Multiple graded stakes winner and Grade 1 performing millionaire, Wildcat Red. Also standing at Buck Pond, V.E. Day. After winning three in a row at Belmont and Saratoga, V.E. Day wins the Grade 1 Traverse in one of the most exciting finishes in history with a speed rating of 112.
But here comes V.E. Day with a final try. Who will win the Traverse? It will be too close to call.
Major League Belmont and Saratoga talent, V.E. Day. For more information, contact Buck Pond Farm at www.buckpond.com.
Power.
Caraconti has won.
Passion.
It's Caraconti winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Caraconti and O'Dor. Caraconti.
Caraconti, a son of Bernstein out of a Sunday Silence mare with five-time champion Miesque as his third dam. Caraconti recorded three grade one victories while earning more than $1.9 million. A precocious juvenile, Caraconti recorded a grade one win at two before taking the prestigious French 2000 Guineas at three, followed by an electrifying stretch run in the Breeders' Cup Mile to defeat older horses with a final time of 1:32 4/5. First crop yearlings by Caraconti sold for up to $220,000, and his first two-year-olds impressed at the OBS March sale, with a filly breezing in 9 4/5 seconds and selling for $365,000 to Breeze Easy LLC. Caraconti, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Hi, this is Larry Colmus, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And Wandigada joins Telekinesis in the Queen's Plate, and splitting them is Cooler Mike, and down the outside running on is also ahead by a century. Wandigada's in front, and she's dashed away in the Queen's Plate, ahead by a century into second. But there's no doubt who's the best today, and it's all about Wandigada, Wonder Woman herself. Demolished them in the Queen's Plate. What a brilliant win. Ahead by a century second. Cooler Mike third. Strike me down. Fourth Telekinesis was fifth.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, live from Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. Getting ready for our coverage of the Grade 2 Charlestown Classic this afternoon, 4 to 6 Eastern. You can tune in on SiriusXM 156 and stream us worldwide on our website at horseracingradio.net. Robert Geller with the call of last year's running of the Queen's Plate, and Wonder Godot with that massive victory over the boys, and she would go on to be named Canada's Horse of the Year at the Sovereign Awards this past Thursday evening. And I have to say that we were extremely humbled and extremely privileged to be honored by the folks in Canada at the Canadian Jockey Club and all the voters. We were awarded a Sovereign Award for our coverage of that Queen's Plate 1 year ago, and we're looking forward to getting back there on June 29th this year for the 2019 running. And I want to thank our entire team, of course, Acacia Courtney, retired jockey Jerry Olguin, who was part of that coverage, my main man Jude Feld, just sitting to my right here, who produced all the feature pieces that we aired, and all the jockeys and trainers and owners who took the time to visit with us. And one person that we need to thank as well is Jim Lawson, who is the CEO of Woodbine. He's visiting with us now because they open up the spring racing season today with a 10-race program. And Jim, first and foremost, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for all of your help, all your support, and the support of your entire team. John Siskos, Andrew Faria, everybody at Woodbine has just bent over backwards to help us, and it wouldn't be possible without you and your team.
Oh, thanks, Mike and Jude. Nice to be on again, and first of all, congratulations, guys. You stole my thunder a little bit. I was all excited to congratulate you, but It was a great honor and well deserved by you guys, and isn't that a nice trophy?
It's a heavy trophy.
Special trophies to have.
It cost caused a lot of conversation at TSA.
We came through security with it yesterday. We carried it on, of course, Jim, and we had it in that my wife had it packed in a bag, and making sure we didn't damage it, and we ran it through the scanners. And the security guards there were calling over the other security guards to look because the picture on their screen was of a horse, which is on the top of the trophy. And they had never seen that before in the Canadian security. So I thought that was kind of neat. It was fun.
That's a great story. Good. Well, congratulations. Yeah. And, yes, you guys are having an exciting day, and we are too. So,
yeah, you've got a really nice stakes to kick off your meeting, too. Very competitive field, and a lot of talented fillies and mares in the race, so it's going to be a good day. How's the weather up there?
It's decent today. It's just this time of year, we we suffer from warm weather and then cool weather, and it's pretty unpredictable, but we'll be fine today.
Good.
Jim, the big news surrounding this year's racing season is the addition of the new inner turf course, and that is set to open in June, where you'll start competing on that course. Of course, you have the world-class E.P. Taylor Turf Course 2, which has been in play for a long, long time. And I noticed that with the addition of the new inner turf course, Woodbine looking to card up to 500 turf races in 2019. Is that right?
Well, we're setting a goal of that. Of course, it's very much weather dependent, as you know, and what it will do in terms of for our racing secretary is we're going to be carding races at every level, right from the bottom levels of our claiming ranks, of course, all the way up to our star turf program. But it's ambitious and, of course, weather dependent. But the idea is to let people know across North America that we're serious about being a leader in turf racing in North America.
Yeah, our Anthony Stabile was teasing me this week on our weekday shows about moving to Canada because of the 500 turf races. He goes, I know where you're going to be living. I said, yeah, that's music to my ears. I love turf racing, and 500 just seems like a lot, especially in light of the fact that we lost so many turf races last year because of weather. So I hope you guys are successful. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, we'll see. I mean, we're going to do our best, and let's hope the weather cooperates. But it should be exciting. The turf course, the one thing that it has going for it is it will have great drainage. It's a thin course with a light sand underneath, and I think it'll take a fair amount of rain. Whereas the Marshall course, the E.P. Taylor course, gets a little soggy. So. We'll be some days, I know for sure, we'll be racing on that inner course on the turf, but we'll have to take the races off the grass on the E.P. Taylor course.
Talking with Jim Lawson, the CEO of Woodbine, again, their spring racing season beginning today with a 10-race program. They will race Friday, Saturday, and Sunday until the beginning of the summer racing season, which is on May 24th when they shift to a 4-day-a-week schedule. Jim, what other initiatives and plans do you have for this year's racing programs and I guess the facility in general at Woodbine?
Well, I think as we've talked about, the turf course is the leader, but interestingly enough, with that turf course sitting on the inside and the E.P. Taylor, the mile and a half course on the outside, one thing that we're really excited about is we're going to have a trackside clubhouse. There's the old, well, you guys have been there enough, that standardbred, the old standardbred paddock, which wasn't that old at all. It's a beautiful building that sits on the west side of the course. It's going to be used as a entertainment area this year. So we'll have a trackside clubhouse that sits in between the two turf courses, so with big patio, so it will be spectacular. So that's one thing that we're really excited about introducing this year. The Queen's Plate, as you know, and looking forward to seeing you guys again. We'll have the music festival both on the Friday night and the Saturday night, so that's exciting. And then we've just opened up with our events team with of course, the Kentucky Derby party and another big event in May called the Greenwood Stakes. We have then we have the turf racing in the fall is going to be exciting too. With I think the mile has really become the preeminent step for the Breeders' Cup, and we've raised the purse on that to $1 million this year. We're back to $1 million so that the Woodbine Mile will again track an international field. So there's so much to look forward to this year. We're excited about it.
Yeah, well, it's the fall at Woodbine is always so great. I mean, it seems like horses come from everywhere to participate. And if you beefed up the purse, that's never a bad thing. I mean, but people want to run there. I mean, it's just such a great facility to train at and to you know, you have your choice of so many different tracks to use and gallops, and it's just sensational. So the Euros that come over, they feel right at home. It's almost like having your own yard.
Yeah, we do well with recruiting horses, and specifically, I think for that reason, Julie Bell and our team in the racing office do a great job of recruiting horses. But they have a lot to sell with five courses this year, with the addition of the new inner turf course, and we have a big sand ring, and it's an expansive piece of property on 700 acres. So it's trainers love it there. Once they get there, those that have never been there before just marvel at the facilities. And you know, people, I was talking to Mark Cassie 2 days ago, and Mark again said, you know, it's he's got a lot of horses he's bringing up this year, and he again commented on, he said he just loves training his 2-year-olds up there and getting them ready for the fall races and and now the spring races for his 3-year-olds. But you know, Mark was, again, he didn't need to compliment me or Whitbine, but he said, I just love coming up there, and don't worry, you're getting the bulk of my 2-year-olds. And of course, he has a lot of nicely bred 2-year-olds to bring up. So it's exciting to have such an honor to have such a great facility.
Yeah, that's one thing we touched on in previous interviews, Jim. Your focus has always been on making sure, number one, that the fan experience when people come out to Woodbine is first class and that they want to come back again. But the other aspect of your job as the CEO is to work with horsemen like Mark Cassie, like Catherine Dave Phillips, like whoever's going to be training there at Woodbine, Roger Atfield, whoever it might be, Josie Carroll, the new Hall of Famer there at Woodbine. You know, that's part of your job too. What's the number one goal when you start working with a lot of the horsemen? What are you trying to make sure that you let them know, and your focus? What's that focus going to be on when you start talking with them?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, one of the things, and we like to think we're good at it. I think you'd get different views, and I think the number one focus is communication, and we need to. I think we need to do a better job. I appreciate the compliment, but our number one focus, and we have developed a communication plan regularly, newsletters with the backstretch. The horsemen, they're the ones who put on the show, and we just need to always have them believe and have confidence that they have a say and they know what's going on. And we work closely with our horsemen and the HVPA, and I think that you know, it'll pay off this year, just giving them the confidence that we're working hard to do the best for them. And I think just listening to their concerns, and they're the ones who understand it better than anyone, and whether it's safety concerns, whether it's, you know, including track conditions, and you learn a lot. I make it a point to be in the backstretch 2 or 3 mornings a week and talk to trainers, and you know, you get a lot of constructive feedback, and I think that's just the main focus is to listen and understand that what they're saying, and keep open that line of communication. And I think that will again be a focus this year, and we can do better at it, and we're going to.
I think that's so important from a horseman's standpoint to see the racetrack management on the backside. I mean, there's nothing like that when you know, somebody in upper management visits your barn and says, how's it going? Is there anything we can do for you? It just really picks up the trainers' heads. I mean, I know training horses in California for 20 years, when Mr. Kilrow would come to the barn and visit when he was director of racing at San Anita, I mean, that was a big deal. And you really felt special and felt like your voice was able to be heard. I think that's fantastic that you do that every week.
Yeah, thank you. Well, as I said, you learn things that you would never otherwise hear about. And sometimes, as much as we like to empower our staff and think we're empowering our staff, if you don't hear about these things and they don't feel like they can make the decisions, it's you hear about these things and you say, wow, that's an easy one. Well, let's just fix that for you. And often, as I said, they're good, constructive decisions. recommendations and suggestions, and the decision to do it is not that difficult. And there are any number of times where it's been a fairly simple thing and easy to fix, but sometimes we don't hear about it, or our people don't feel they can make the change. You guys appreciate we're all rooted in an industry that is rooted in traditions, and sometimes things never change and they need to change. And people, the answer sometimes is at racetracks is, well, that's the way we've always done it. And as we travel around and listen to people and open the lines of communication, I think it's important to change things, because the world has changed in so many ways that you have to be reactive and proactive and do some of these things that not just leave things the same way, because that's the way we've always done them.
Jim Lawson, CEO of Woodbine, with us here on HRRN. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, we're going to send Jim a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Jim, very quickly, have about 30 seconds before I have to get to the commercial break, but the favorite to win the Grey Cup this year, who is it?
Well, it's early, but I'll tell you that in Canadian football, it's all about the quarterbacks, and the Hamilton Tiger Cats have done a good job. They've got their quarterback coming back, and Calgary has a good quarterback, and BC just signed as a free agent Mike Riley, who was in Edmonton. So those are three of the teams that. Not to sell anyone short, as you know, and we've seen in the NHL playoffs with Tampa going down and so forth, anything can happen. But right now in the Canadian Football League, I always look to who's got those stable quarterbacks, and makes a big difference. So there we go. We look forward to it.
All right, look forward to seeing you in a couple of months when we head back there for our coverage of the Queen's Plate at the end of June. Jim, really appreciate the visit as always. Thank you again for everything that you and your team do for us, and thanks for all your support of what we're doing here on the network, and look forward to catching up again soon, my friend.
Great, and right back at you. Thanks, and look forward to seeing you for June 29th. It'll be fun again.
All right, we'll be there. Jim Lawson, CEO of Woodbine Entertainment here on HRRN. We'll get to one other break. We will come back and get you set for the second half of the program. Going to be busy. We'll talk more about the Charlestown Classic. Stay with us. It's the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Springtime tips and fun facts from Paul, Kristen, and Dexter at Total Wine & More.
Did you know there were over 1 million bubbles in a glass of champagne? Did someone say brunch?
Wine is made in virtually every country in the world, and I'm ready to give you a tour to find the right one.
Ham's sweet and salty richness pairs perfectly with a juicy Pinot Noir.
Now with two locations in Lexington. Visit our newest store in Hamburg, off Sir Barton Way. Shop online at TotalWine.com. The selection is ridiculous. Cheers!
Bloom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win, going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Midnight Bizou with another assertive final furlong. The top filly of the meet deservedly wins the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at BloomRacing.com.
Broken Vow continues to deliver rock-solid results. The top 10 Son of Unbridled has sired nearly 150 black-type stakes horses, 75 black-type stakes winners, and over $71 million in earnings. Among those sired by Broken Vow last season were Chocolate Martini, winner of the Grade 2 Fairgrounds Oaks, and Life in Shambles, winner of the Grade 3 Fall Highweight. Sire of Eclipse Champion Champagne Room, Broken Vow has sired additional Grade 1 winners, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, Sassy Image, and Cotton Blossom. Broken Vow, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Out for a spin, and Paco Lopez spraying a 52-1 upset.
Out for a spin, the daughter of Darley Stallion Hard Spun defeated champion Jaywalk and everyone else in the Grade 1 Ashland Stakes at Keeneland on April 6th and is now pointed for the Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks at Churchill Downs. And that winning effort makes her your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Hard Spun is Danzig's last Grade 1 winning son, who sired more First Crop Stakes winners than any other stallion. Out for a Spin became Hard Spun's 10th Grade 1 winner and is the 5th graded stakes horse and 32nd winner from his first crop since returning from Japan. She's joined by Louisiana Derby-placed Spinoff, slated to make his next start in the Kentucky Derby. Learn more about Hard Spun and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, it's Ian Wilkes here, and you're listening to HRRN Radio.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
They're into the far turn, and Stanford is still there under Johnny V. Matt King Cole to the attack from second. War Story is now a clear third. Imperative is a wide fourth, followed by Sunny Ridge. Three quarters in one, 12-3. And they're at the top of the stretch. Stanford, Matt King Cole, and Matt King Cole have taken the lead. War Story and Imperative on the outside. Matt King Cole, Imperative, they throw it down in the classic. Imperative, Matt King Cole. Imperative rides the Country Roads to victory again in the Charlestown Classic over Matt King Cole and War Story. It was a thriller in 153 flat.
Welcome back. Mike Pennant, Jude Feld, live from Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. Happy to have you back with us on the Equine Forum. That was Paul Espinosa with the call of the 2017 running of the Charlestown Classic. The second victory in the race for 9-year-old Imperative, who returns today looking for a third win, and we'll see if he can pull it off. He'd be the first horse ever to win the race three times. Something awesome. The winner of last year's race is also back again to defend his title. He'll get a rematch with the horse that he beat last year, War Story. And War Story and Imperative, both owned in part by Imaginary Stables of John Garnier, and he is going to be with us coming up in just a little bit here at 9 o'clock Eastern, so looking forward to that visit. Didn't throw out a poll question at the top of the show. We got busy with some other items. We didn't do it, so we'll give it to you now. You can go to at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook to cast your vote, but we'll keep it, let's keep it Charlestown Classic-centric here today, JT, and we'll give people a choice of a few different horses they think might win. So who wins today's $1 million Charlestown Classic? We'll give you Imperative. We'll give you Something Awesome, the two previous winners of the race, and we'll give you the morning line favorite, War Story, as the three choices, and then the fourth choice will be Other, and if you do choose that one and you think somebody else is going to win it, let us know who it is. We'll try to pass along those results later in the show. So who wins today's Charlestown Classic? Imperative, Something Awesome, War Story, or Other? And if you choose Other, again, let us know who it is. What do you think? Who are you picking today?
I'm picking Todd Pletcher's horse.
So am I.
Rally Cry.
Yeah, so am I.
Oh, maybe I need to reevaluate.
You might want to rethink that decision.
Yeah.
Poor Todd. I'm going to text him and apologize right now.
A lot of weight, yeah. Rally Cry's got a lot of speed. He runs well fresh. Nobody better than bringing a horse off a layoff than Todd Pletcher. He's got John Velasquez. That's my pick.
Just very quickly, I want to just elaborate here one more time and do this the right way. I did it as we were introducing Jim Lawson. But, Jude, what we were honored with on Thursday night in Canada with that Sovereign Award, it's the Canadian version of the Eclipse Awards for our coverage of the Queen's Plate. And what a thrill. What an absolute privilege it is to be part of this industry and to be able to bring you that coverage here on the network. And trust me when I tell you that Jude, myself, and everybody else that's associated with our team, we do not take that privilege lightly by any stretch of the imagination, and can't wait to get back to Woodbine again. But again, I want to reiterate, Jerry O'Gean, retired jockey, you couldn't make the trip, Jude. He was able to sit in your place as our analyst on the broadcast. It was his first time doing radio with us on that show, and he hit it out of the park. He was just so good. He'd won the Queen's Plate before, so he kind of had that inside perspective, and he was great. Acacia Courtney, who, by the way, our little beauty pageant queen, going to be competing for Miss USA coming up on May 2nd. So all the best to Acacia in that competition. But she's already a winner, having been part of our broadcast team for the Queen's Plate. She was there to handle all the on-track interviews. Our producer, Lee Delapina, Keith O'Brien, Justin Taylor, who lended their voiceover work to the coverage, and, of course, you, JT, for writing those features and putting those together for us, and Robert Geller for his amazing race calls, and then all the trainers, the owners, and the jockeys that took the time to visit with us and for those interviews that we aired on the coverage, and all the folks at Woodbine, Jim Lawson, Andrew Faria, John Siskos, who has been an amazing supporter of us from day one, and our man John Sakura at Hillendale, because they were the title sponsor of that show. And really can't thank them enough for all their support.
Yeah, it's a great thing. It's a tremendous honor, just to be considered in the finalists is fantastic. And then to win it is kind of, a dream come true type of event. You know, it's cool. And then Jerry Olguin, you know, I gave Jerry one of his first mounts when he was an apprentice back in the day. So for him to be part of it was kind of cool too, because we go back such a long ways, his father having been a trainer at Caliente and, you know, long time ago. So that was cool too, to have him on the broadcast. And everybody, you know, enjoys what we do, but when you get an award like that, it kind of picks up your head a little bit and makes you think, wow, that's pretty hard to do. You know, it's not every day that you get recognized for it.
Yeah,
so it's good.
Thanks to all of our sponsors, and thanks to all of our listeners as well, because without you, there's no reason to do this. So
that's right.
we appreciate you tuning in. We really do each and every week.
We're always amazed that people listen to us.
Yeah, truly incredible. But thank you to everybody associated with that. And by the way, that award has to weigh 25 or 30 pounds.
I was feeling sorry for you. You were toting it around yesterday. It looked like the Hunchback of Notre Dame. It's like unbelievable. I mean, it's such a beautiful thing.
Yeah, really spectacular. All right, we're going to get to the second half of the show. John Garnier, who is the principal of Imaginary Stables, is going to talk about his contenders in today's Classic. He'll kick it off in just a moment or two. Eric Zimney, the vice president of racing operations, is going to be with us around 9:40 Eastern. So a lot of things to get to. It's all about the Charlestown Classic in hour number two. We are back right after we pause. 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Game winner on the outside takes the lead. On the inside, it's Nick Skoll, who fights on but will be second best as they come down to the line. He doesn't know how to lose. He's game winner in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
Second is Bodie Express. He's running a huge race down at the inside in Code of Honor. Hidden Scroll at a one-pace Bourbon War on the outside. But Maximum Security proves he's the real deal with a gate-to-wire win in the Florida Derby.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And Code of Honor is on to the front. Hidden Scroll trying to hold on to second. Here's Bourbon War unleashing a big run down the center, but Code of Honor is going to hang on to win the Fountain of Youth three parts of a length.
Long Range Toddy is running a very big one in the center of the track. Improbable. Long Range Toddy trying to gun him down. Improbable. Here's Long Range Toddy.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum, rolling on from Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races, live from the press box overlooking the finish line. The sun is now out. We told you at the top of the show, and for those just tuning in, we had rain here throughout the day yesterday. We had heavy rains for much of the evening, but that has now come to pass. The sun is out. The wind is blowing to dry out this racetrack. It is still a sloppy racetrack, and the horses are continuing to train. That training will be wrapping up shortly. And then we'll turn our attention toward getting this track dried out. And from what I understand, Jude, this is a racetrack that dries out quite quickly. And with that wind, with the sun hitting it, with temperatures expected to get into the low 70s today, you have to think that by the time we get to the Charlestown Classic at right around 5:40 Eastern time this afternoon, we could be looking at a fast main track.
Yeah, absolutely. The wind is really going to help it, plus the warm air. That's a good recipe to get the track dried out, and they'll start working on it as soon as the horses are done training at about 9:30. And so, yeah, it's beautiful right now. Typical Charlestown kind of day. The clouds rolling by, and just lovely right now.
He's Jude Feld. I'm Mike Penna. Again, we're live from Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. My beautiful wife, Michelle, is producing this program, much like she did for that Queen's Plate broadcast last year, but this one much easier, not having to hold down the tent that was blowing away during that broadcast. We're in the press box. We're cozy. We're warm, and it's going to be a great day. And somebody who is hoping it's going to be a really good day is John Garnier, who is the principal of Imaginary Stables. They will send out 9-year-old Imperative, looking for a third victory in the Charlestown Classic, and they'll send out War Story, who makes a third start in the race, looking for his first win. John, first of all, good morning. Thanks for taking the time, my friend.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Everything is good. Happy Charlestown Classic Day.
Thank you. I'm home up. I'm actually in Delaware, and I heard you guys talking about the track sloppy, but it may be fast.
Yeah, it is sloppy. We had a lot of rain here yesterday and throughout the evening, but it is it's drying out now. And from what I understand, the track dries pretty quickly, and now they'll open it up and let that air get to it. There's a stiff breeze blowing, so that should help too.
We're hoping on this end for a little deja vu of 2 years ago on a sloppy track and hug and kiss a sloppy, muddy jockey in the winner circle.
Yeah, let's start with the two-time winner, the 9-year-old Imperative. You know, he comes back here. He's won it in 2014, won it in 2017. Hasn't won since. He's 0-for-8 since that victory in 2017, but he's run into some heavy hitters. Talk about that decision to bring him here again this year.
Well, Ron Pellucci and I own Imperative, and I kind of think he's over his head, but to run him here at the Charlestown Classic, where, I mean, in 4 starts, you could see won over $2.5 million. The decision was simple. If he runs well, we may have a racehorse. But the only race back since Charlestown Classic was in Laurel, where something clicked in his head to run, and he ran pretty well. But other than that, he's been chasing really good horses. So if he doesn't run well, I'm going to push certainly for Charlestown. What better place for him to have retired at? And I wouldn't be shocked. And I saw TVG last night, the commentator saying, "You never know on a horse that loves the track so much." So I guess it's a long shot. Obviously, a long shot. But we decided what better place for him to retire if he does run a very dull effort.
Is there a specific type of horse that you look to bring to the Classic, considering the fact that it's so unique? It's 1 1/8 miles, but here at Charlestown, it's around 3 turns. Is there a certain type of horse, John, that you look to bring here when you decide to run your horses here at Charlestown?
Well, you know, just horses in our stable, obviously. War Story, in 17, when Imperative won, we were at my family, friends, we were at the top of the steps screaming for War Story, who looked like he was going to win that race. And Javier made a big move outside, and I started screaming for Javier because I knew at that point Imperative was probably going by. But if you look at the race, it really should have been 1-2, Imperative, War Story. War Story got a little bit spoofed of our own horse coming outside of him. And, you know, he ran a respectable third. We knew at that point that obviously both of them liked the track. Imperative was established. Now War Story ran really well. So we brought War Story back last year, and all I could say, kudos to Edgar Prado. It was a jockey won race. He was past War Story at one step of the race, and that was the finish line. Not before, not after, but he had the most important race being ahead right at the finish line. It was just a great job. Sometimes you got to take your hat off to the other guy, and Javier will be the first to say it. Edgar ran a fantastic race. But again, it proved that War Story really likes that track. So here we are 3 times in a row, and hopefully the third time's the charm for War Story.
Why do you think it is that that War Story likes this track so much. He really handles the turns well, but it's got to be more to it than that.
Well, it's a, you know, a horse that likes that likes tight turns. I mean, Imperative obviously likes tight turns. War Story makes those turns very, very easily, and some horses don't make the turns very well. So, I mean, I'd be lying to you if I knew the exact science. I just think some horses handle turns. Jockeys are a big part of it too. I mean, you know, we had Javier on Imperative. We put Javier on War Story last year because Javier's won the race a number of times. So I guess it's a combination of the horse that likes the turns and the jockey that knows how to approach them and take them. And like I said, my partner Glenn Ellis and I are really excited about today. We just feel we did the right things with War Story. We gave him time off. He had a great race last year. He came back, ran a big race in the Brooklyn, and he was defending champion in Brooklyn. But he just got nailed by Baffert's horse at the wire. And, he ran a bad race, and then we decided, hey, let's shut him down if we really want a good shot at the Classic. And I'm not a big fan of running off a layoff, but he needed it. And, so we're geared up for this race, and, Jorge tells us the horse has never trained better, and he's ready, and we're excited. We're excited about today.
Visiting with John Guarneri, who is the principal of Imaginary Stables here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. He has Imperative. He has War Story going in this afternoon's Charlestown Classic. Our coverage, 4 to 6 Eastern, Sirius XM, Channel 156, and streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. John, you mentioned the rider angle. You're going to have to win it this year without Javier Castellano. He's riding against you. Imperative going to be ridden by Jacob Radosevic and War Story by Kendrick Carmouche. Talk about the decision to put those jockeys on your two horses today.
Well, Ron Pellucci, co-owner of Imperative, knows Jacob very well from the Ohio circuit. Jacob rode, ironically, in the race at 17 on a horse we put in there for speed. And Ron knows the odds stacked against us, and he figured put a jockey on it that he knows is going to go all out. And obviously he's bigger than he would not take it. I can't blame him. Javier and Johnny V's rode a lot for us this year. They're kind of committed to the Fletchers of the world, and that's the only problem when you use those guys. And I've had many a talk with Navarro. It's good and bad. Johnny V is absolutely spectacular on Javier, but as your horse gets better and gets in better spots, obviously you're going to lose out to the Chad Browns, the Fletchers, and the Baffords of the world. So Do you want the greatest jockey, or do you want a jockey that has familiarity with your horse and will take that mount? And we had Carmouche on him in Philadelphia, a mile and a half stake. He ran extremely wide, and we felt that second time on the horse, he's going to give it all he has, and we feel the horse will win the race. But if you're asking me, if I love a big-time jockey, absolutely. But Carmouche is a very capable jockey, and we feel he'll fit the horse well. So, and I basically make the trainer make the decisions on my end when I own majority of the horse, and Glenn and I basically turn that over to Jorge. And again, because he has his stable of jockeys that really, I mean, how could you argue with a guy that wins at 40% up here and damn near 30% at Gulfstream at the toughest meet in the winter. And I'm not one of those guys that tries to tell a trainer how to train. I want to show up, have a good time, and take a picture. I'll let him do his job, and I'll do mine.
Well, John, you've had a lot of success in the game already. Go back to your roots and tell us how you got hooked on thoroughbred racing in the first place. Where did the love begin?
Well, my dad and a bunch of steam fitters used to parlay in and buy cheap horses at Keystone Racetrack in Philadelphia. And so as a young kid, I was brought to the track brought to the backside, and it was kind of exciting. And being as it may, 4,000, 5,000-hour claimers, it was fun. And but my dad would always tell me, it's too much money. If as a horse gets better, as he climbs, you're going to lose the horses. So I kind of put it on the back burner in my life as I started to do very well in life and my businesses. But when my wife and I moved down to Fort Lauderdale in 2011, you know, we did so much beaches and going to golf course and fishing. We would go wind up at Gulfstream Racetrack almost every weekend. And just one weekend, I'm down there to finish line. You hear all these people screaming for their horse. And I said to my wife, I think I'll get a racehorse or two and try to have fun with the game. Well, lo and behold, I did some research. I got a claiming trainer down there that was recommended, Peter Walder. And right off the bat, we won our first two races. Ironically, Javier rode both mounts. And the second race, May 16th, May 17th, the second race, I said to Javier coming into the winner's circle, I said, Javier, they told me this game was so hard. It seemed so easy. And he said, no, don't say that. And I've been blessed. I got involved with the right couple horses. I got involved with Imperative early. And before we won the Charlestown Classic, we won the first and only deciding race on Pegasus Day. And I've been in all three Pegasus. We won the Mathis Mile, a grade two. I won the Brooklyn. And a good friend of mine, Bill Murphy, told me once, he said, John, I know people in this game 30, 40 years that haven't won the graded races that you won. And it didn't really dawn on me until you're in the game two or three years and you're like, wow, I am pretty fortunate because there's people in this game a lot of years that haven't won some of these races. So I don't know what it is, karma, luck, but I've been blessed. And claiming wise, I think I have a decent eye. I have a decent eye. Claims. I've done well with claims. This past season at Gulfstream Claiming Crown, it's my third year in racing. I had four horses in a claiming crown. So, I mean, that's pretty impressive that four of your claims qualify for the ultimate claiming races. So you know, I'm having a ball. My wife loves it as much as I do, and it's just so much fun.
Yeah, it's been a fun ride, and that ride's not over yet. Let's hope, John, that you can add another chapter to it later this afternoon in that Grade 2 $1 million Charlestown Classic. Drive careful on the way over here. We'll look forward to seeing you when you get out here for the races this afternoon. And all the best, and thanks for taking the time to be with us here today.
Well, thanks for having me on. I hope we're having another conversation later today.
All right, let's do it. John Garneri here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. He is the principal of Imaginary Stables. Again, Imperative, two-time winner, looking for number three this afternoon. And War Story, two-time participant, but yet to win. He's the 7-2 morning line favorite, both owned by John and his Imaginary Stables in partnership with others. And looking forward to that race later today. Quick reminder that you won't want to miss any of the Road to the Kentucky Derby prep races and Triple Crown race coverage like only Blood Horse magazine and tablet can bring you. Plus, right now, you can sign up for the Blood Horse Triple Crown Special, which is 12 weekly issues for only $12. That's right. All you have to do is go to bloodhorse.com/TC to sign up now. And if you have an iPad or tablet, you can get each issue as soon as it's released. No waiting. That's bloodhorse.com/TC.
Good deal.
Yeah. What do you think? War Story, Imperative. He's got a pretty good hand today.
Yeah, he does. He does. He should be excited. Sounds like he is. He's pumped up.
Yeah.
Says his horses are ready to go, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, Imperative has to turn it around, though. He's been in dismal form since winning this race in 2017, but he has a tendency to return to form when he gets back to his favorite racetrack.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. He wasn't in great form the year he won it.
No.
So, you know, it's one of those things where he gets to Charlestown and he gets feeling frisky.
We'll continue to talk about the Charlestown Classic when we return. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonySteaksandSeafood.com.
Castleton Lions is proud to introduce precocious multiple graded stakes winner Protonico for the 2019 breeding season. A Son of Giants Causeway out of an AP Indy mare, Protonico rolled to a 12 3/4 length victory in his debut as a 2-year-old before taking the Grade 3 Smarty Jones and Grade 3 Discovery Handicap at 3, followed by an ultra game win in the Grade 2 Ali Sheba at Churchill Downs in his 4-year-old season. Protonico joins the Castleton Lions stallion roster that includes multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti and Blue Blood sprinter Justin Phillip. Gio Ponti is the sire of Eclipse champion Dre Fong, Canadian Classic winner Sir Dudley Diggs, and stakes winners Miss Technicality and America's Tale. While Justin Phillip is represented by exciting stakes winning filly Safe to Say and stakes place runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing. Protonico, Gio Ponti, and Justin Phillip standing at Castleton Lions.
Hi, this is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
As they run towards the top of the stretch in the Arkansas Derby, Omaha Beach, 3/4 of a length, Improbable attacks on the outside, and these two have sprinted 3 lengths clear of Long Range Toddy. Then comes Laughing Fox, Omaha Beach, Improbable in second. Omaha Beach is now a length in front. Improbable gonna try him one more time. Omaha Beach, Improbable to the outside. Omaha Beach just won't let him by yet. Improbable second. Omaha Beach, yes! The 83rd Arkansas Derby goes to Omaha Beach over Improbable.
14 days, 9 hours, 26 minutes, and 33 seconds until the Run for the Roses, Saturday, May 4th at Churchill Downs. Omaha Beach may be the favorite coming off of that win in the Arkansas Derby. He'll have the services of Hall of Fame jockey Mike Smith, who had to make a difficult decision. Mike saying that it was maybe the most difficult decision he has had to make as a rider in that Hall of Fame career. choosing between the Bob Baffert-trained Roadster, who won the Santa Anita Derby, and Omaha Beach, who wins that Arkansas Derby. Vic Stauffer had the call of that one that you just heard. Jude, tough decision for Mike. The Hall of Famer says, I'll stick with Omaha Beach. Is he the favorite 14 days from today?
I think so. I think he's going to attract most of the money. He's been impressive, done all the right things lately, and if he continues to train well up to the race, there's no reason not to think he shouldn't be the favorite.
What impresses you most about that horse?
He has guts, and he's got speed. And then you add in the human element. Richard Mandela, he's not a guy that pops off. He's not a guy that goes dancing around the barn area, which he did earlier this week. I mean, you know, Richard's like about as staid as there is as a trainer. And he hates to lose. He's very serious about his horses. And he's acting like a little kid. And he said something to the effect of, you know, people are going to wonder what I did to get this horse beat for so long. You know, he thinks he's all world. And I think Mike thinks he's pretty darn good. And so I'm not surprised that the horse has done well and that Mike chose him. I wasn't surprised at all. We had an interview during the week a couple weeks ago with Mike, and he just really was effusive in praise for Omaha Beach. And so I think he's certainly a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, you know, I'm a big Roadster fan. I think that his race, especially giving up some seasoning and beating Game Winner in the Santa Anita Derby, was a tremendous race. But obviously Mike, who has ridden both horses, said no, he's going to side with Omaha Beach. So that kind of cools me off on Roadster just a little bit, but I'm still going to use him in the Kentucky Derby. I think you have to. And I think you have to use Game Winner too, because he may be the one. He may end up being the one. He might be the best horse out of all of them on the first Saturday in May.
Yeah, I don't know if Game Winner would have lost the race to Roadster if he wasn't so wide. I felt like he ran a mile and a quarter in the Santa Anita Derby, maybe as a prep for the Kentucky Derby. And I give Game Winner a lot of credit, and I think, you know, he could be the favorite. He might be the best horse in the race, period. So it's going to be a very interesting Derby.
How about Bob Baffert? How about this guy? He just continues to show up each and every year with these major players in the run for the roses.
Yeah, I mean, one of these years he's not going to have a Derby horse, right?
And it'll be shocking.
He'll be so glum.
It will be shocking. We'll still interview him.
Oh,
we'll still go interview him.
We always do. But, you know, it's happened in the past.
So, Bob, what's it like sitting on the couch watching the Kentucky Derby?
Well, he'll bring – you know what he'll do? This is exactly what he'll do. Mark my words. He will send, like, five or six horses to the undercard stakes, and he'll win them
all. Win them all.
Yeah.
Didn't he do that in the Belmont a few years
ago?
Yeah,
I think so.
He didn't have a horse in the Belmont stakes, but he swept, like, the undercard.
Right. And the whole story was all about Bob.
And Mike Smith. Mike Smith rode for him that day, too, and they were en fuego.
Yeah, I laughed when people said, oh, you know, Baffert won't use Mike Smith anymore because he – chose the other horse. Like, that is the most foolish thing you've ever said, because Baffert loves to win, right? And who would you rather have on your horse than Mike Smith?
Yep.
Right?
Yep. We are going to have plenty of Derby conversation over the course of the next 14 days. As Jude alluded to earlier in the program, for those of you just tuning in, we will be live from Churchill Downs next Saturday morning. We'll be broadcasting from our backside Red Brand broadcast tent. It's a great location, looking right at the Twin Spires, 20 yards from the main track. We'll be there next Saturday morning from 8 to 10 to bring you an update on everything happening Kentucky Derby-wise and Kentucky Oaks-wise. Let's not forget about the ladies who will go postward on the first Friday in May. We'll get a chance to talk to some of the connections on this show next Saturday. That will kind of kick things off for us. Then we will return on Tuesday morning, April 30th, to begin more than 15 hours of Derby Week coverage on site at Churchill. We'll kick it off with the first of three Derby countdown shows presented by our friends at Hillendale Farm. Those are Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday morning, April 30th through May 2nd, 8 to 10 a.m. We'll have our Express Bet radio programs throughout the week. We'll have our Jock Talk and Trainer Talk shows, the Fasic Tipton and Tito's Handmade Vodka, the sponsors of those shows. We'll have the Bristnet.com call-in show on Thursday night. That'll be a Derby edition, the Naira Betts Weekend Stakes preview show, and then our Kentucky Oaks and Kentucky Derby coverage presented by TwinSpires.com our Kentucky Derby undercard coverage presented by Twin Spires. Then we segue into Kentucky Derby 145 in partnership with NBC Sports and Westwood One. So it's a full week. We take you all the way through the Derby and bring you all the action live from Churchill Downs. And really it kicks off next Saturday morning when we show up there from our Red Brand broadcast tent.
Yeah, it's going to be a great week. Saturday before the Derby is a day that a lot of horses work if they're on the grounds. And so we'll see who's there, see who's galloping good, working good, and kick it off that week.
All right. Well, we are on site today, Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races, getting ready for the 11th running of the Grade 2 $1 million Charlestown Classic. It has a post time of 5:37 Eastern. Our coverage this afternoon comes your way from 4 to 6 Eastern time. Make a note, though, we'll be on Sirius XM Channel 156. That's Sirius XM 156. And myself, Jude, and Dr. Dan Mason going to be live from Charlestown to bring you that coverage. Should be a good one, and a lot of content coming your way later today. We're going to step away for a break. Eric Zimney, the Vice President of Racing Operations, has made his way to the press box. We will get to him next. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown.
Bet any track from anywhere with Keeneland Select. Keeneland Select offers something no other wagering platform does. A way to give back to the sport you love through Keeneland's reinvestment in thoroughbred racing and fan development. Become eligible for a $100 sign-up bonus and earn $50 back on every $500 wagered on the Keeneland Spring Meet. Up to $1,000 wagered with code HRRN at KeenelandSelect.com or download the app free on the App Store or Google Play.
Springtime tips and fun facts from Paul, Kristen, and Dexter at Total Wine & More.
Did you know there were over 1 million bubbles in a glass of champagne? Did someone say brunch?
Wine is made in virtually every country in the world, and I'm ready to give you a tour to find the right one.
Ham's sweet and salty richness pairs perfectly with a juicy Pinot Noir.
Now with two locations in Lexington. Visit our newest store in Hamburg, off Sir Barton Way. Shop online at TotalWine.com. The selection is ridiculous. Cheers!
Adina Spring Stallion Mucho Macho Man is a sire in the making. A precocious juvenile, classic three-year-old, and dominant older horse.
Mucho Macho Man wins the 126 Suburban in a dazzling time.
Mucho Macho Man wins the Risen Star.
Mucho Macho Man! He did it over Will Take Charge!
Mucho Macho Man's first crop includes grade one place three-year-old Mucho Gusto.
Mucho Gusto, impressive in victory, cruises home by five easy lengths.
And talented three-year-old filly Mucho Unusual.
And this is going to be an authoritative score for Mucho Unusual all the way in the Cal Cup Oaks.
A top five second prop sire in 2019, Mucho Macho Man, standing at Adina Springs. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
In Kentucky, our biggest celebrities have four legs, and thanks to Kentucky Proud Horse Country, you can now have unprecedented access to these equine stars. From foaling barn to finish line and beyond, you can see it all. Up-close experiences at our stud farms, nursery and sport horse farms, clinics, a training track, a feed mill, and aftercare facilities will open your eyes to the dedicated care these equine athletes receive for a lifetime. And don't forget to grab a free passport on your tour and start collecting stamps at every location you visit. Book now at visithorsecountry.com.
Alter Nation was the co-second leading second crop Kentucky sire with five black type stakes winners, nine black type horses, and well over $2.5 million in earnings. Alter Nation counted Grade 3 Super Derby winner Limation and Gulfstream Stakes winner Alter Moon as tops from his first crop of runners. Already this year, Alter Nation has the brilliant filly Serengeti Empress, easy winner of the Grade 2 Rachel Alexandra Stakes at the Fairgrounds by Distorted Humor. Millionaire, graded stakes winner, Alter Nation stands at Pin Oak Stud.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia.
My name is Paco Lopez.
This is Jose Lescano.
This is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And they're into the stretch, and it's game on, Toad. Clubhouse ride to the outside, and Ron the Greek is third. A final 16 for game on, Dude. He's reaching for the wire. Ron the Greek's coming up the fence. Clubhouse rides on the outside, but Game On Dude has won the Charlestown Classic over Clubhouse Ride and Ron the Greek. Percussion finished fourth in a final time of 1 minute 52.27 seconds. Game On Dude has won the Charlestown Classic.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence here on HRRN. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, happy to have you with us. Don't forget, you can check out a complete Kentucky Derby Week schedule and listen to all of our programming live online on our website, horseracingradio.net. And that includes this afternoon's coverage of the $1 million Grade 2 Charlestown Classic, 4 to 6 Eastern Time. It will be streamed live on our website and available SiriusXM channel 156. That call right there, Larry Colmus with the call of the 2013 running of the race, Game On Dude, with the victory. And it was a memorable moment for our next guest, who is Eric Zimney. He's the Vice President of Racing Operations. Eric, every single year since that victory by Game On Dude, I play that race clip leading into your interview, and for good reason.
Yeah, that was probably the most noteworthy running of the race, when we had Game On Dude, multiple Grade 1 winner, Ron the Greek, multiple Grade 1 winner, Clubhouse Ride, I think won the California twice, and they were all separated by about a half length on the wire. That was definitely the most exciting finish here. I mean, that was when Joe Torre was here and Mike riding the horse.
We tell that story every year with Joe Torre standing there. It was a cold, dreary kind of night, and it was really chilly out there. And he stood by the winner's circle, and he had his World Series rings on, and he was taking pictures with the kids, and he was letting them wear the World Series rings. What a class act he is.
He was great. I mean, he didn't turn down an autograph, letting kids try on his World Series rings. Yeah. Those whole connections were awesome.
Yeah, it was a great night. Never forget that race.
That was also awesome. The only time where Larry Colmus he's ever gotten angry with me, because the fractions for that race were wrong, and he was announcing them demonstratively during the races, 50-3. And, afterwards it was, get the fractions right or I'm not coming back.
He never gets anything wrong in a race call either. That's shocking.
I've never heard anything wrong out of his mouth.
No, brilliant.
Brilliant.
I hope he's listening, because we're doing this on his behalf.
Yeah, I thought the segment was actually presented by him, sponsorship-wise, but.
We're not going that far.
No.
He'd never pay for it.
No. You still need ratings.
Absolutely.
He put it on your black card.
Yeah. And Game On Dude, you're one of your all-time favorite horses,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
And going so far as to name your cat after him, Dude.
Dude.
Celebrates his sixth birthday today.
Sixth birthday today. Yeah,
happy
Dude. Yeah, I wished him happy birthday. He was having none of it. He tried scratching me before I left, and so I don't. Maybe that is how he celebrates. Actually, I don't know. But yeah, 6 years old today.
Jude hates Dude.
No, I don't hate him. I don't hate him at all. Just because he beat me in the handicapping contest. No, I really don't hate him. He's fine. I wish he was nicer.
We'll give you catnip next time, and you will beat Dude.
Yeah, we didn't have Dude tested after the contest, but
I'm glad he didn't have me tested.
Yeah, he would have blown hot after that.
That was a fun little thing we did at Breeders' Cup for people who have no idea what we're talking about right now. We did a Dude versus Jude. Dude the Cat versus the Pontiff of the Pick Four for charity. Dude the Cat somehow picked more winners than Jude, or accumulated a higher bankroll than Jude.
Yeah, he'd be $2.17.
Oh, it was so close.
Yeah,
by a long whisker.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he does have longer whiskers than I do, that's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Listen, it is the 11th Charlestown Classic Day. We are privileged to be back here, sitting here overlooking the finish line again. Thank you for having us back, and thank you for everything that you and the folks here at Penn Gaming do for us. Huge card. You're talking about a first post of 1230, 13 races, 8 stakes, worth more than $1.5 million in purses, and, of course, that million-dollar Charlestown Classic. You've done a tremendous job with this race, you and the entire team.
Yeah, appreciate it. I mean, Charlie, our racing secretary, he really did a great job with this one. We had some of our racing officials who hustled the undercard stakes, which turned out really, really good. I mean, there's full, fuller fields in pretty much all of them, and You know, standing to handicap being moved kind of messed with us a little bit. It's probably part of the reason why Mongolian Groom had to supplement to the race. We usually are out there hustling horses for the big cap, and it got moved to 2 weeks before our race, so we didn't bother sending anyone out there because we figured, you know, who are we going to get? So we, it's a nomination we probably would have gotten otherwise. But, yeah, the division is what it is, but I feel like our race is pretty competitive for who's out there right now.
We haven't even talked about that horse yet. I mean, you mentioned the supplement. He had to pay $25,000 to supplement into this race today. They have to feel pretty good about their chances to spend that kind of money.
Hey, look, I mean, they lost by, what, three and a half to Gift Box and McKenzie, who may be the two best horses in the division, and if he runs that race back again, I mean, I think he's going to be pretty tough. Kenny on 2 weeks, I don't know, but 25K shipping across the country, that reeks confidence to me.
And you get two former Charlestown Classic winners squaring off with Imperative, a two-time winner, the nine-year-old squaring off with last year's winner, Something Awesome, who defeated War Story. He's back again, so you've got that green match. No shortage of storylines here.
Like, how crazy is it? I mean, how many races do you have or graded stakes where a runner in the field won the race a half a decade ago?
That's
when he won. It was 2014, and you know, we'll see if the form, you know, the form is what it is. It holds. Sometimes horses tend to perk up when they come back here because it is really a specialist track, and same with Something Awesome.
Yeah, that's we were talking about that with the guy that owns Imaginary Stable about horses perking up here and having a knack for running on the turns and maybe a little bit more athletic type of horse that can switch their leads early on cue. That's a big part of riding a bull ring. You want to switch your leads at the right time because it's not like riding a traditional mile racetrack or mile and an eighth racetrack. So, yeah, there's something to be said about that. And old horses especially, I think, they get back to a place. It used to happen with horses at Del Mar every year. They get back to a place where they've had success, and it just makes them feel good. They know that. You know, when you tell people that, they look at you like, oh, what, you're some kind of horse whisperer. But the horses, yeah. I mean, you can just tell by the look on their face when they walk onto the track. They just are different.
And this is unique here, too, because mile and an eighth around three turns. So it takes a special type of horse to be able to handle this type of surface and this type of configuration. And a horse like Imperative and even War Story, even though he hasn't won, he's proven he can do it. And Something Awesome, we know he can do it too.
Yeah, and it's, if you look at the, I think Duke of Mischief won this race in 2011, came back in 2012, wasn't in form at all. He might have been 20 to 25 to 1 in that race, and he ran a good second, easily could have won, but a little bit of a better trip.
Yep.
Imperative, after he won the first year, he came back and he had to be 30 to 1, I think he ran second. I mean, it's just it happens. Horses aren't used to running three turns. I remember you know, Diversify last year, I saw Rick Violet, awesome guides. Crappy for the sport to lose a guy like that.
Yeah, horrible.
Diversify, I talked to him, and he said, you know, the horse was really smart. And when he got to the third turn, he thought the race was over because he looked like he was loaded with horse going around there. And all of a sudden, that was it. And he said he thought that was what happened with the horse. So it's new.
Well, we asked our listeners to weigh in on the poll question today, and we simply asked who is going to win today's $1 million Grade 2 Charlestown Classic, and we gave them a few choices: Imperative, Something Awesome, War Story, and Other. And if they chose Other, they needed to specify. So far, 38% of the vote coming in for that Other category. War Story is the leader among the three choices with 29%, but Diamond King and Nanouche getting a lot of love from the Other category.
Interesting. Yeah, yep. It's Navarro's second horse. It'll be interesting to see if he's a pace player or a strong contender, which one of those two he tends to be.
But Diamond King's a little bit of a buzz horse, right?
He is. I mean, yeah, I didn't realize. So yesterday, full sibling to Bellafina. I didn't realize that. And, yeah, I mean, his return from that layoff looked pretty good at Gulfstream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, John Service, the trainer, grew up here in Charlestown, West Virginia.
Yeah,
so, he would love to win this race. There's no doubt about it.
Absolutely. Him and his whole family grew up here. And I know his dad, Joe Service, consider him a good friend. And he's having some surgery, so wish him well. And I don't think Jason's going to be here. I mean, John's going to be here today. I think he's down in Florida, but yeah, I'm sure he'd love to win a seven-figure race in his hometown.
You, you know, you think about the defending champions coming back, going back to Something Awesome for just a minute, 0-for-5 trying to defend their title here. The only horse to win it back-to-back was Researcher the first couple of years. Since then, 0-for-5 for the defending champs, so Something Awesome has to buck a little history here today.
A little bit of history. I mean, there was, Imperative was one who denied Game On Dude the back-to-back in the 2014. I'm trying to think of who else. Stanford, when he came back and he ran fourth. Yeah, they haven't had a lot of success since Researcher. It's tough to win any stake in consecutive years.
Yeah.
You got to be healthy. You got to be in form coming into the race. I mean, it's not an easy thing to do in general. So we'll see.
You threw out an interesting statistic about Hall of Famer John Velasquez, who will be riding for Todd Pletcher today with Rally Cry in the Charlestown Classic. He's a guy that Jude and I both like Rally Cry, which I don't know if that's good or bad. Probably not good.
Probably bad.
Yeah, probably bad. Poor Jude's thinking about changing his mind.
I said I had to reconsider.
Yeah. But Johnny V has struggled here when he's come here to the Charlestown Classic.
In the Classic, yeah, he has. It's I don't know what it is. I mean, it's probably a small sample size to conclude anything definitive. One of the best riders I've ever seen. And three or four times he's been on the beaten favorite in the race. And his horse today, I don't know what he's in the morning line, 9-2, something like that. I mean, he's going to be one of the favorites again. I mean, I've heard a lot of buzz on him, too, running style-wise. Looks like he might fit the race. But, yeah, for whatever reason, Johnny hasn't found the winner's circle here yet.
Bring back Cornelio Velasquez, I say.
Yeah. Where's he now?
I don't know where he is, but he needs to ride here. I never saw anybody ride this racetrack the way that he does. He was outstanding.
No. He rides it pretty
good. Javier rides the best horses, too. Cornelio Velasquez, the night he rode here, he wasn't on the best horses, and he won a lot of races because he was savvy about the track, and I was really impressed with that.
Visiting with Eric Zinni, who is the vice president of racing operations here at Charlestown. We are live at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. Again, our coverage this afternoon, 4 to 6 Eastern time. Talk about the rest of the program and some of the wagering opportunities that folks can look forward to tonight.
So we've
this
got
afternoon, I should say, not tonight.
Yeah. So we have two wagering opportunities that are really good for horse players today. The first one is our Pick Six, which has a really low 12% takeout. There's $180,000 carryover in there that has to be paid out today. That'll start in race 8, runs through the last race in the card. We also have $100,000 guaranteed Pick Four that starts in race 9. Low takeout there, too. It's 15%. So, two really good opportunities for players. Last time we paid out the Pick Six, the carryover that was in there, I think we got in 13%. We paid out 13% over what the gross pool was for that day. So it was basically a takeout free bet plus 13%, which you don't get too often.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah, it's
good. What do you think that pool's going to be today?
It's tough to say. I mean, last time when we had 200, it was about 240,000 in the carryover, and it was a million, I think, was the pool. So, you'd like to think the profile of today would help it a little bit, maybe get another million in there. It's hard to say. Between 800 and 1.2 would be my guess.
Maybe we'll hit the Pick Six and the $100,000 guaranteed all stakes Pick Four. We'll hit them both.
Well, that would be lovely. Yeah, absolutely.
Why not?
Yeah, buy Michelle something nice instead of spending it all on yourself.
$100,000 guarantee into that all stakes Pick Four. That's a pretty nice little wager, too.
Yeah, it's nothing to sneeze at. And again, when I was talking about the field size, sometimes you can get races in there that are really, really thin and, four horses with 2 to 5 in there, and it can shoot the value of the sequence, but you don't really have that at any spot in there. So, I mean, you have to spend a little bit of money to try and hit this.
We had a chance to visit with longtime clocker Henry Allen in the first half of the program, and if folks missed that interview, we'll encourage you to head back to our website, horseracingradio.net. Listen to the podcast of this program after we finish up at 10 o'clock Eastern. But Henry was, talking about his 45 years of clocking horses here at Charlestown, and he's been part of this environment here at Charlestown for longer than that, because he was training horses prior to that. And I asked him about the best thing about Charlestown and if he ever thought he'd see a million-dollar race here, and he gave a great answer there. But how about for you? You've been such an integral part of developing the Charlestown Classic and building it and seeing it get to $1.5 million in purse value and now still $1 million 11 years later. Talk a little bit about what that means to you.
Look, it's hard to believe that we've had 11 of these, or we're going to have 11 of these come, 5:40. It seems like it started, just yesterday. But it's been great just to see the profile of this track grow. And we never had, whether it was HRN or TVG, we never really had that kind of coverage before unless it was bad. And so to see the stature of the track, I mean, wagering per race here has almost doubled in 9 or 10 years, which I don't know other tracks in the country that have done that. It's gratifying to see this program have a little bit of a better name than it's had in the past, because it really deserves it. Our employees do such a good job. The people around here care so much about this program, and I think you'll see a lot of support for the local horse in the Classic today. today just because of that. I mean, they want him to represent the program well. You know, it's definitely a proud group. It's been awesome. I mean, it's been a great ride.
Well, the cool thing is it's such a beautiful place to come. Everything is, you know, impeccable from the casino to the hotel to the racetrack. You guys do such a great job. And you know, we're here today, but your other properties do the same kind of job. And I think when you go to a racetrack that, you know, as you say, in the past maybe didn't have the highest reputation or whatever, and then you come here and see how hard you guys have worked, what they do at Penn, you know, I mean, it's just fantastic. It's a real pleasure to come and enjoy the races at these facilities, and I think that's a big tribute to your staff.
No, I appreciate it, Jude. Yeah, I mean, every racetrack has a right and should want to feel proud about both the product they put out there, about the venue, about, you know, the way it's packaged, and I'd like to think our folks, you know, have a sense of pride on a day like this especially, but year-round too.
I'm glad you brought up the local horse, Running to Love Ya. Last night I had an opportunity to cut away from our dinner, which, by the way, thank you again for a wonderful dinner last night. The steakhouse here at the casino is all world, and we had a great time there. But I had a chance to skip out on dinner for a few minutes to catch up with the trainer of Running to Love Ya. That's Tim Grahams. And really enjoyed that visit. What a super nice guy. Here's a horse that's won 11 of 15 lifetime starts, all 11 here at Charlestown, and comes into this race on an eight-race winning streak. So, look, the horse can run. He's a good horse. Is he this good? We'll find out.
We'll find out. I think the horse's tact is going to be to get to the lead and see as far, you know, go as far as he can. But like you said with Tim, I mean, that's another example of, yeah, I mean, I'm sure he puts it in the context of, look, I want to win a seven-figure horse race. I mean, I understand. But he genuinely wants to represent the program and, you know, see a local horse do well. And that's great for us, too, because putting these big spots on, it wasn't just about having horses from out of town come in here and have our fans get a chance to experience them. It's to put on a stage for the local folks, too. Because, look, late-night powwow, you saw what happens. Like, she wins the Charlestown Oaks and then can go on and win the Fritchie, run third in a grade one at Keeneland. I mean, having those horses go out and compete in other races as well, or have the country, you know, learn a little bit more about those horses, they're like walking billboards for the program at that point. And it's a big deal. I hope that horse runs well today. It'd be great.
West Virginia bred, his chink in the armor may be that he's inclined to act up and be a bit of a nut in the post parade. If he keeps it together, and Tim told me that he will be ponying him himself if he keeps it together. Look, he's talented. He's a good horse. He has a lot of speed. Who knows? Anything can happen.
Yeah, you mentioned late night powwow, and what a fantastic filly she's been and how she's helped West Virginia so much. I always give her a plug when she's running.
Yeah, she's been great. She wasn't nominated to the Humana Distab. I thought that might have been a good spot for her. 7A seems like her game, but not in there.
Yeah, we get a chance to cover a couple races leading into the Charlestown Classic on our coverage that begins at 4 o'clock Eastern this afternoon, the Russell Road and the Dance to Bristol, both outstanding stakes races in their own right.
Yeah, they are. I think yesterday, there were a couple scratches actually in the Dance to Bristol. I think both Tom Amos's horse are out. I'm not aware of anyone else scratching out, though. And as long you look in the country right now, you can go out there and you can see 4 and 5 horse fields in graded stakes, even on the overnight, let alone after it scratches down. And seeing the program page is pretty full. That's a good thing.
Fast track by post time for the classic?
Yeah, I was talking about that with those guys. I don't think it'll be fast. I mean, the sun, if it beats down a little bit, there's a little bit of wind out there. I think he can probably get it to good. I don't know if it'll get to fast by race time, but I think over the course of the day, if it's sunny, you might see it by 5:40 be playing that way.
All right, well, 5:40 is the post time for the Charlestown Classic, actually listed as 5:37, likely to go just a couple minutes later. Again, we'll have that coverage for you 4 to 6 Eastern time this afternoon. Brother, appreciate the visit. Thank you for all your help and all your support, and go Steelers.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I knew that was not going to be an enthusiastic
response. I can't. I'm getting the bag ready.
He told me the only way he's coming to a game this year is when they're 4-8 and he has to wear a bag over his head. You know what? I already booked my hotel for 5 home games this year, so I'm there.
2 weeks before the Super Bowl, too? That much confidence?
Well, I'm hoping they make that run because usually I go to 7 or 8 games. But the way the schedule falls this year, I can only make it to 5. So
I'm surprised you didn't have input into the schedule then.
But, you know, I texted Rooney.
Yeah.
The wrong Rooney.
Right.
I got a response. Who the hell is this?
Mickey Rooney wasn't the guy to text, Mike.
Appreciate it, but thank you for everything, and enjoy the day. Great job with this program.
Goes both ways. Thanks, guys.
All right, Eric Zimney, Vice President of Racing Operations here at Charlestown. We're going to get to one final break. We'll come back and tell you what's ahead. and wrap this one up for you. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Power.
Cara Conti has won.
Passion.
It's Cara Conti winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Cara Conti and O'Donnell. Cara Conti.
Cara Conti, a son of Bernstein out of a Sunday Silence mare with five-time champion Miesque as his third dam. Cara Conti recorded three grade one victories while earning more than $1.9 million. A precocious juvenile, Cara Conti recorded a grade one win at two before taking the prestigious French 2000 Guineas at three, followed by an electrifying stretch run in the Breeders' Cup Mile to defeat older horses with a final time of 1:32 4/5. First crop yearlings by Cara Conti sold for up to $220,000, and his first two-year-olds impressed at the OBS March sale, with a filly breezing in 9 4/5 seconds and selling for $365,000 to Breeze Easy LLC. Cara Conti, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Attending this year's Kentucky Derby? Experience the true difference at the official Derby Hotel of HRRN. Say hello to a brand new hotel experience from Hilton. That's vibrant, affordable, and young at heart. It's energetic, yet relaxing and comfortable. It's completely unprecedented. It's completely true. Enjoy modern amenities and quality comfort with guest rooms featuring a 55-inch flat-screen TV and 150 channels of DirecTV, along with a free breakfast, a state-of-the-art fitness center, and more. Discover affordability without compromise at Louisville's True by Hilton.
Airdrie Studs' Summer Front is poised to skyrocket to national sire prominence with his first crop of two-year-olds in 2019. A multiple stakes winner at two, this talented son of Warfront went on to win her place in 12 graded stakes with lifetime earnings of more than $1 million. With an explosive turn of foot, Summer Front routinely recorded times of a mile and 33 in some of the best grade one mile races in the country and possesses everything it takes to be an important sire for years to come. Airdrie Studs' Summer Front. Think about it.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
Come on out to the Maryland Jockey Club at Laurel Park for our 2019 Spring Stakes Spectacular. Join us on Saturday, April 20th for seven stakes races with over $750,000 in purses. Grab a front row seat to see who will win a place in the gate for the Preakness Stakes and Black Eyed Susan, and win a free tote bag with program purchase while supplies last. Bring your friends to sip and savor craft brews or indulge in local favorites at our newly redesigned trackside eateries. Post time 1:10 p.m. We'll see you there.
This is Carlos Martin, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
I moved here to the United States when I was 9 years old. And for the longest time, it was my parents, my sisters and I, my uncle and my cousin. And so we brought a tradition, our tradition, to the city of Cincinnati as far as welcoming people into our home, always having food at the table, and so on. So the family aspect of my hospitality basically stems from, you know, how I grew up being an Italian. We're very hospitable people, and it was just a natural instinct for me to get into the hospitality field, mainly in restaurants, but basically, you know, watching my mom cook all those years and cooking for us dinner at the table every night and conversations and things of that nature. So it's that philosophy that I try to bring into my restaurant. And you're right, you have to become part of the family. Life is so stressful, and people need to get away from life for a little bit, just a couple hours when they're out to dinner, and we want them to do it in our restaurant, have a great time, and just let go and just become part of the family with us.
That's fellow Paisan, Tony Ricci, the man who runs Tony's of Lexington, Tony's of Cincinnati, and Tony's of Indianapolis. And I use that coming out of the commercial break, because I want to remind listeners that if you're going to be in town for the rest of the Keeneland meet, if you're going to be coming back for the horse sales in the summertime, Anytime you'll be in Lexington, anytime you'll be in the Cincinnati area or in Indianapolis, stop by Tony's. I promise you, you will not get a better meal anywhere. And as you just heard, Tony wants you to be a member of his family and part of his family and treats you like one when you walk through his door. Simply spectacular, and we encourage you to head there if you're going to be in town for any of the horse activities coming up. Even the Land Rover event next week at the Kentucky Horse Park.
Yeah, that's going to be spectacular.
Yeah, I'm sure Tony's will be packed for that one. Our thanks to all of our special guests for joining us here this morning. Henry Allen, the longtime clocker here at Charlestown. Jim Lawson, the CEO of Woodbine. John Garneri from Imaginary Stables. He has two horses in today's Classic. And Eric Zimney, Vice President of Racing Operations here at Charlestown. Been a busy show, and we're not done yet. We're back 4 to 6 Eastern Time. SiriusXM 156, streaming worldwide, horseracingradio.net. Our coverage of the $1 million Grade 2 Charlestown Classic.
It's the only million-dollar race today in the United States, so tune in.
Yeah, it's going to be a big one, and we can't wait to bring it your way later this afternoon. Don't forget, if you're looking for our entire Kentucky Derby Week programming schedule, it's available for you on our website, horseracingradio.net. Make sure you head over there, and make sure you head back and listen to the podcast of this show and all of our shows. They're there for you, horseracingradio.net. Poll question today, you weighed in at HRN. That's our Twitter feed. Make sure you follow us there and follow us, Horse Racing Radio Network, on Instagram. That's brand new. Head over there and follow us there, too. For our producer, Lee Delapina, and our Jimmy Johns of Lexington Studios, for Jude Feld, for my beautiful wife, Michelle, on site, I'm Mike Penna. Thanks for listening. Go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.
Happy Easter, everybody.